Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me today in the studio is the producer. And yes, he is wearing the Saints shirt today, Pat Hamilton.
Proudly, my son.
In a very humble way.
And you know, the man, your friend and ours, Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day, good day. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. Light of the world. We have a great program for you today. You want to catch us in the first hour? Go ahead and email your friend. Go ahead and text them. Go ahead and let them know. Go to VFNTV.com and they can listen live. Go ahead and download the app at your Google Play or iTunes store. Search VFNTV. We got so much to share with you today. We're talking about the Constitution again, part three in our series, The Constitution and Freedom. Oh, my goodness.
Powerful.
Powerful. They're buying guns back again. But you're going to be surprised to hear what type of guns they're buying.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
Pull up your chair. In fact, if you're driving, pull on over. Pull on over and listen to VFN Radio.
Get that cup of coffee ready.
Here we go. Well, my goodness. Pat, Steve, what a day. What a several days it has been. It is cooling down in the Emerald Coast. It's not as warm and hot as it's normally been, but it's been good. It's been good. A little rain came down and kind of helped us all out here, helped us all out and cooled everything down. But if you're joining us and you missed yesterday's program, we want to encourage you. You want to be able to tune in. You want to be able to tune in and go to the Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and select the word Torch or the highlight with the torch flaming and moving around. And we talked about yesterday the love walk. Enduring, having patience without complaining. Man, I heard that one again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a
very good.
That was a good one. That was a good one. We talked about the fear of the Lord, pathway to intimate friendship with God. We're going to talk about that some more as we're sharing about Joy Dawson and her book, Fear the Lord. And you just don't want to miss it. Don't forget, you can always catch the first hour and the second hour. And feel free to always feel free to subscribe to the podcast. But I want to talk today. Actually, guys, you know, we're going to talk about don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. Don't get the gospel twisted.
Right.
And it's so important when you look at everything that's happening today and so many things that are going around and around and around. You want to know the truth. You want to know the real deal. And many people today have fallen for lies and have given up fighting and holding on to the truth. I mean, I just don't know what's going on here, but it just seems like it's so much easier for folks sometimes just to believe a lie than to go ahead and fight and hold on to the truth.
Yeah.
And the truth is worth fighting for, it's worth holding on to, and it's definitely worth seeking. But it has to be of value to you.
That's right.
And so you want to make sure you maintain it. Many believers today are accepting anything that's being shared from any kind of pulpit. And the Word of God tells us, the Bible tells us, that the Bereans would examine the Word daily to see if Paul was teaching and preaching according to the truth. I said, wait a minute, Paul. You know, and they weren't do this to catch Paul. They weren't trying to rebuke the teacher, but what they were trying to do was take personal responsibility for their own spiritual development. And how many we've seen today that are just hanging out, not even carrying their Bible, right? Just hanging out, and we're not investing in our own spiritual development. And I'm telling you that we can, and we're encouraging others. And listen, every day we have folks that are requesting their simple plan to abide. I want to encourage you that if you have not done that, by all means, go to iabide.org, request your plan. It's free. It doesn't cost you a thing. But we have many people now that are responding and wanting to abide with the Lord and are seekers of truth.
Hello.
Hello. And George Barna tells us that only 19% of the church is actually reading the Bible. And only 3% actually care for their own spiritual development. But right now there is a wishy-washy gospel that's being shared. A wishy-washy gospel that people are listening to and that are accepting. And they're not searching out the scriptures. Well, listen, there's nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes tell us. There's nothing new under the sun. And 2 Peter addresses this situation, and it's important that we kind of get a glimpse of reality and what the Word of God has to say about this. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there were false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute," which means loss of reputation. They're just going to bring it down. The way of truth. "In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping." I mean, this is a serious thing that was happening back then. So there's nothing new under the sun, but he says that there is a judgment that waits those who are teaching heresies, those that are not teaching the gospel. Listen, the good news is only good. I saw this quote and I actually added a little bit to it. But the good news is only good if it arrives on time and if it arrives right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It has to arrive right. And so you don't want to get it twisted. You don't want to get the gospel twisted. You want to get it straight. And there's a lot of twisting going on. And the thing about it is that God is serious about sin, and he's definitely serious about the twisting of his word. You know, some are reading the word of God to look for verses of scripture that condone what they're doing, as opposed to reading the word of God as a mirror to their heart and letting the word of God speak on its own. Or they're looking for people to, you know, affirm or reaffirm what they're doing is right. I'm also amazed to me how many people who say they love God don't take the things that God takes serious for themselves. And we talked about that a little bit in the fear of the Lord, that, listen, truth is not something to be messed with or something to be played around with. You want to be a person, a seeker of truth, a knower of the truth, and you want to follow the truth. And you don't want to get it twisted, because judgment delayed is not judgment denied.
That's right.
And one of the things that Peter says here is that their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. It is coming. It is coming. And you don't want to be like the blind following the blind. You don't want to walk over the cliff. And you don't want to hear, you don't want teachings that you know, what you... It's all about your itching ears, what they want to hear. You want to be a person that says, listen, I want the truth. I want someone to share with me the gospel. I want to share with the word of God straight, the way it's supposed to be given to me. And if my feelings get hurt, then my feelings get hurt. If they stomp all over my toes, then they stomp all over my toes.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
But the truth is the truth. I think it was Brother John Kilpatrick one time who said, it's okay for you to get a little red in the face. You're not getting a little red in the face, something ain't right. And it's okay to have the Word of God taught to us and preached to us in its fullness and not watered down, not twisted, and not palatable, not full of sugary preservatives, because the salt doesn't need, it is preservation. Mm-hmm. All you need is a little bit of the truth to get everything straightened out. But in 2 Peter 4, he says, for God did not spare, listen to this, for God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment. If he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, preacher of righteousness, and seven others. If he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man was living among them day after day and was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds. If he saw this, I mean, listen, if God did not spare the ancient angels, he did not spare those in the ancient world, he did not spare Sodom and Gomorrah, believe you me, he is not going to spare anyone that is twisting his gospel and teaching heresies. I'm amazed. A lot of things amaze me these days. I'm amazed at those who are always concerned about heretical teaching, yet at the same time spend very little time abiding in God's word.
Exactly.
Listen, if you're abiding with the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about any of that. If you abide, listen, God's going to speak to you daily. That's the whole thing. When we come together in fellowship and gathering, it should be a one big old giant amen. And it should be, fantastic, because that confirms what God told me Tuesday. That confirms what God told me last Thursday. That's excellent about, because last Saturday. Mm-hmm. We don't take a break on the weekends of abiding. You know, you abide 7 days. Mm-hmm. Last Saturday, that's exactly what God said to me when I was reading his word. But if the only spiritual nourishment that you're getting is maybe one time a week with a few verses and a message, listen, you're malnourished.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
I mean, you think about how often you stroll on over to the kitchen, open up that refrigerator, and peer into what might, you know, satisfy that hunger. How often do you need to get fed? Daily, hourly.
Yeah.
So why on earth would we ever think, okay, I can just crack open my Bible for about 45 minutes on a Sunday and think that's going to satisfy my spirit? Mm-hmm. Because that's not. Just like we eat and have to feed our natural bodies with food bought from a grocery store, spending time in a grocery store, we have to feed our spirits, taking that daily time, digging into the Word, spending time with them.
That's right.
Lord, speak to me. I need that fresh daily bread.
That fresh daily bread.
Yeah.
And the truth is, too, is that, listen, if you're hearing him and you're spending time with him and you're abiding with him, he's going to lead you and direct you, and you're gonna be able to know yourself clearly, because I can almost hear somebody say, well, how do you know if it's false teaching? You know, because you're in the truth.
You know the word.
Because you're in the truth. But if you're not in the truth, then that's the whole thing. Have you abandoned your own spiritual responsibility to seek God out and fully relied on someone else to teach you?
Yeah.
And it's like everything has become so easy. It's like the culture that's invaded the church at large, where, you know, it's this American culture. Just give it to me my way, easy. Make it pretty. Make it clean. Make it fast. Mm-hmm. You know, do it 1, 2, 3 so I can get what I got to get and I got to go. You know, is there any way that you can have this just messages a little bit faster? And can you use a little less scriptures? And, you know, do you have Wi-Fi in this church? Because I don't have to carry my other Bible. I just like to use my phone because my Bible's too heavy. And so if I can just pull it up on my phone, I can just scroll real quick. In fact, you know what? Why don't you just throw the scriptures up on the screen for me so that I don't have to pull out my phone. It is like, if we're giving up our own spiritual development, this is not good.
Yeah.
You should want to be personally involved in seeking God out for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if someone was to ask you, what is the Lord saying? What is God saying? You want to know, you want to be able to share what God is saying to you, not what God shared with others that you heard and that you shared. Right? And there's time for teaching, and there's time for learning, and there's time for that. I mean, that's all cool and good. But that cannot be your main sustenance. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to the gospel, we can't get it twisted. When it comes to the word of God, we have to have it straight.
That's right. Now, this just reminded me of don't eat another man's groceries.
Yeah.
Get your own.
Yeah. Yeah. Get your own groceries. Get your own groceries. And make sure that you're eating fresh off the Father's table. And God will deal with the ungodly. God will deal with the ungodly. You don't have to worry about all that. Because he goes on to say that if this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment.
Mm-hmm.
This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desires of the sinful nature and despise authority. Listen, it is time to examine ourselves before God and get it right and to get it straight. Preacher and believer alike.
Right.
Don't get it twisted.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to BFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at BFNTV.com.
Military chaplains' prayers under fire? Defending prayer in the military. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
And I'm a military chaplain, and just received a briefing from our chief of chaplains that our commanding general had talked to a JAG officer and recommended that from now on when we pray at drills that we don't use the name of Jesus in our prayers.
I will tell you this. We've gotten a resolution at the Air Force level where you're not being told how to pray. That has not made its way through all the other branches. We're working on that. It is a big issue for us. Anthony, hang on the line here. I'm getting in touch with some of our legal staff, and we'll get right on your situation. But it is something that we are still working on. We've had good news so far, but we are not done with this battle yet.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. To become more involved in protecting these freedoms, visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. And we try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org, and you can read some of our stories.
Chris, isn't abiding, spending time with the Lord, just an awesome thing?
Oh, it definitely is. And that, you know, abiding is something that's just totally changed my life. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a point in time that I didn't even think that I could hear from God. I didn't know that I could spend time with God and hear from Him. And it's just amazing. And I can't tell you how many times that through abiding that God spoke to me something that morning that I needed that day. There was something that came up that God spoke to me and to be able to encourage somebody else, or it was to help me through a particular situation that I was, you know, that God knew that I was going to run into that day.
It's like a chain link event where God gives you a rhema word for that, a living, active, breathing word that it blesses you.
Exactly.
But it blesses another person. Yes. Another person is living and active. Oh, yeah.
Yes. And it's just, you know, it just continues. It just keeps going and going, you know.
It's exciting, isn't
it? It's very exciting.
We can do this for the rest of our lives.
Yes, the rest of our lives. And it's just, you know, to be able to commune with the Creator of the universe.
Awesome.
You know, and he speaks to you, and He speaks to you clearly.
Right.
And He speaks to you the way that you hear.
Right.
You know, because, you know, we don't all hear the same way, but
right.
But God knows, you know, how to speak to us. And,
right.
And it's just awesome. It's just, it's powerful. You know, it's life-changing.
Yeah. When you abide with the Lord, like He talks about in John 15, you know, apart from abiding in Him, we can accomplish nothing. When we do that at the beginning of our day, the day is nothing but amen instead of oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's already spoken to us about our day. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, I want that life. I want to be able to abide with God. Listen. We have a simple plan available for you right now. It's free. All you have to do is go to iabide.org. That's
abide.org and request your free plan today. Listen, you're called. And by the way, you can't do anything outside of abiding with the Lord. That's iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Steve and Pat. We're talking about don't get it twisted. Don't get the gospel twisted. You want to make sure that you get it straight and that you preach it straight because it's the truth, and God won't stand for it. You know, Jeff Bethke, I love this guy. He's so fresh and so, you know, raw.
Mm-hmm.
He does the spoken word.
Yeah.
And kind of like rap, but maybe without the beats. And it's poetry. It's poetry. And a lot of his videos have been just, I mean, they've been seen so many times on YouTube, and they're mm-hmm. being shared. And it seems like the Lord's really blessing this young man's ministry. And he's been playing a little clip for you about what masks are you wearing. You know, people tend to wear a whole lot of masks.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to wear a mask. You want to be who you really are.
Be transparent.
Be transparent. I want you to listen to what Jeff has to say, and we'll be right back.
You know, one of my favorite things about being married to Alyssa is in a marriage, there's this covenant and this promise where the other person can see all that you are. They can see all your frailty, your failures, your guilt, and your shame, and your struggles, and say, I still want you. I still desire to be with you. And you feel truly loved, because to be truly loved, you also have to be deeply known. And so when you are deeply known in the context of marriage, it's a beautiful thing. And God even explains our relationship with Him like that as well, right? He sees all of it. He sees our failure, our shame, our guilt, our struggles, the insecurities, whatever it is. And He says, I still want you. And that's beautiful and amazing. But I think a lot of times, whether it's because of broken relationships with friends or family, we actually wear these masks where we hide behind our fake version of ourselves, whether it's religious performance, academic performance, athletic performance. We hide behind these masks and we prop up these fake selves that we want everyone to see us as, right? Kind of like this Facebook edited version of ourselves. And we all hide behind that because we're terrified of someone really knowing us, really knowing the secrets and the struggles and the insecurities. And so then we project that on God, right? We say, well, He must not love me, or we don't feel like we're loved by God, or we feel like His grace isn't unconditional because of that mask we're wearing. And the problem with that is, it doesn't matter how awesome God's grace and love is, it can't penetrate us until we take off the mask. Now, what do I mean by that? Let's say, for example, you're in this room with me right now, and you have paint in your hands, right? And the object is to hit my face with paint. But let's also say that I'm wearing a full mask covering my entire face. If you were to throw that paint on me, it doesn't matter how awesome the paint is. It doesn't matter how unconditional the paint is, how cool the paint is. It's not going to hit my face. It's going to hit the mask, right? And a lot of times that's like with God's love. His love is unconditional, amazing, ferocious, and relentless in His pursuit of us. But because we wear the mask, it cannot penetrate. It cannot give us life. And so my encouragement is, man, are you wearing a mask? And can you take that mask off? Because joy is on the other side. I mean, God didn't die for the mask. He died for you, right? I mean, you see it all throughout Scripture that He pursues us and loves us despite our behavior, not because of our behavior. And you see in Psalm 139 that He formed us in our mother's womb. He's deeply involved in even the creation of us. He knows the hairs on our head. Ephesians 2 says we are His workmanship. We are His poetry, it says. And then in Hebrews it says, for the joy set before Him, Jesus endured the cross, right? Now think about that. What joy is in the cross? It's obviously not the crucifixion. That's not joyful, right? To be killed. And even sometimes people will say, well, maybe it's that we might, you know, do a bunch of things for God. But I don't think it's that either, right? Do you think Jesus is about to die and He says, well, I just am doing this because I pray that they'll just pray 20 times a day, go to 15 Bible studies, 20 accountability groups, and go to church all the time, and then, oh, okay, I'm satisfied, and then He dies. No, right? What's the joy? The joy is you. Just you. No qualifications, no additions. He just wants our heart. And sometimes that's the hardest thing for us to give, because we have to be vulnerable, we have to be transparent, and we have to be honest if we want to give our heart and if we want to give our true selves, but be encouraged that God didn't die for the mask. He died for you. And so what are you hiding behind today? And understand that God's grace, right, is based on his nature, not your behavior. And so it's pushing at you, and it is giving it, he is giving it to you based upon who he is, not what you have done. And so you can rest assured that you can drop the act, you can drop the mask, you can be honest and let that grace and that love penetrate your soul and bring life to you. And when you understand that, what it does is you understand that he is the true audience you should be living for. And when you get that, then you can be honest with everyone else as well. And you don't have to put up this fake version of you to all your friends or to the public, but instead say, hey, this is who I truly am, and the person that truly matters loves me, desires me, and wants me, and so I can be honest. And so be encouraged with that today, and I hope you understand that he loves you right now. Love you guys.
That's so awesome, because everyone today, even the Bible says that what man desires in the book of Proverbs is unfailing love.
Mm-hmm.
Love me for me. However, so many people are wearing masks. They're wearing these outer garments to try to hide who they really are.
Mm-hmm.
Even more so in a Facebook age where a lot of people are concerned about this outer image. Mm-hmm. And I saw a post that somebody once posted said, I wish my Facebook life was really that awesome. I wish my Facebook life was really that awesome.
Right.
And it's all about an image. It's all about what people are projecting that they want other people to recognize them for.
Yeah.
And so if they're amongst these friends, they wear this mask. They're amongst those friends, they wear that mm-hmm. mask. And they're not comfortable within their own skin.
Mm-hmm.
They're not comfortable. And a lot of times it's because so much rejection. Listen, this pop culture is all about, you know, airbrush, looking good, perfect abs, all this type of stuff, you know, clothing and all this external that all people are really concerned about these days, especially young people. It just seems all this external stuff, nothing inwardly. They don't have fully developed emotions. They don't have fully developed thought processes. Mm-hmm. Everything's about a virtual existence, and it's all about the image.
Right.
You know, it's all about the image, being accepted and looking cool. And I think a lot of people walk down that path.
Right.
And you have insecurities, feel unlovable. And the truth is that when you come to God, you can put the mask down. You know, it's tiring wearing all those masks.
Oh, yeah.
It's tiring.
Oh, yeah.
Projecting what you want others to receive you for. You know, oftentimes someone will look at somebody and say, I want to be like that. They will never admit it. I want to be like that guy or that girl or that man or that woman.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll dress up the image. They'll put on the whole show, and maybe they don't have the personality to act like that. But when they're in the image, when they're in the mask, it's time to do the tap dancing. It's mm-hmm. time to perform the show. And it's like, you know, Clark Kent and Superman. They put on the costume, and it's all good, and they try to be the Superman or the Supergirl. And then when they go back home, they take off who the projected person yeah. is, and they go back to being Clark Kent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did you ever think that Clark Kent was cool enough? You know, God made Clark Kent.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. that the way you talk and walk and breathe and look and act and the things that make you and your unique personality traits and characteristics, you're one of a kind. Why would you want to be a cheap copy when you can be an awesome original? God made you.
Mm.
God made you.
Mm-hmm.
But to think that no one has the same fingerprint. I mean, how amazing is that?
It's like, that is cool.
How many billions of people on this world?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And everyone has their own
unique fingerprint.
I mean, your finger's not that big. I mean, how many shapes and variances can you get on a finger? And yet each one are different.
Mm-hmm.
That means that God gave you a special marking that distinguishes you from any other person on the face of the earth. And if God did that for your finger, what do you think about the rest of who you are?
Mm-hmm.
That's just your finger. It's okay to be you. It's okay to be who God created you. Because you know what? They may not like your projected image, but they'll probably like who you are. And it's okay to dial back and say, it is what it is. You know what I mean? You don't want people to fall in love with the image. You want the people to fall in love with the content. And especially when it comes to folks that are dating and getting to meet each other, they package up. They get the package looking really good. But you don't marry the package. Be careful.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
You don't marry the package. You marry the content.
Yeah, I've heard it said many times before that I'd rather have somebody not like me for who I am than like me for who I'm not. And it's so important because it just goes back to like having that projected image. It's just like, I'm going to be real with you. I'm going to be transparent because I've learned many times before. It's just like somebody may not like you for you being real, but that's because they themselves don't like themselves.
Yeah.
And that's that. You're going to encounter that. And all you can do is just be real and be yourself.
Yeah, and there is a tremendous amount of pressure on a lot of people, especially young people, but there's a lot of tremendous pressure for people to look right, talk right, be right, you know, be in the in crowd and all this type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, listen, that's exhausting. That's tiring, you know? Be who God created you to be.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy who you are. Be comfortable in your own skin. And allow those that are drawn to your personality and your friendship and the things that make you unique, allow those people to come near you, and you'll be totally surprised. But the whole thing about if we're wearing a mask with others, rest assured that we're probably going to be wearing a mask with God. And one of the greatest things that you could ever do is be so transparent in your prayer with God. So many times people say, well, how do you pray? You say a certain thing, and people are so uncomfortable even praying in public because somehow religion has come upon us where it's like, is that a holy tilt right there? You got the hell tilted at the 45-degree angle, and all of a sudden the voice changes, and it's like, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
All prayer is a conversation with God. And I tell you, the more transparent and honest and, you know, forthright you are with the Lord, the more meaningful the prayer becomes. Because you're just laying it all out. All you're doing is just talking with Him, hanging out with Him, sharing Him the way it is. He knows all your failures. He knows all your pains. He knows all your struggles. He knows all the ugliness. But yet He loves you in spite of that. And there's nothing like being free from the fear of man and what other people think. And that's why you wear a mask. It's the fear of man.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like being absolutely comfortable in your skin and being okay with it. It is what it is. I mean, look at programs like Doug Dynasty. I mean, people are looking for authenticity today, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you look at guys like Phil and Cy. If you don't know who these guys are, you got to watch it. Great program. But, I mean, America is craving this. This program has beat, my understanding has been to the top. I mean, it's beat out all these other programs, reality TV, that is. And why are people tuning in? It's a bunch of guys who have long beards, long hair, who make duck calls, and live a very simplified country life. And there's no pretense at all. It is what it is. I mean, and they let it all hang, you know. But yet people love it. And if they would have doctored that up and dressed that up and changed who they are, you notice that really the most successful reality shows are the ones that are just people that are the most transparent.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely no masks on those guys.
Yeah.
They let it all hang out.
Yeah. They let it all hang out. And they are, you know, it is what it is. And so it's time for you to do that. It's time for you to take off the mask, the religious mask.
Mm-hmm.
Take off the religious mask and take off the mask that fears men and all, just take it off. It's heavy, it's burdensome, it's not who you really are, it's a facade, you know, and just be you. And authenticity is just an awesome, awesome, awesome thing, but you got to get free from the fear of man in order to be able to do that. You got to get totally fear, you got to be more concerned about God's reaction to your actions than you are to man's reaction to your actions.
Mm-hmm.
You got to say, it is what it is, and that's it. God loves you for you today. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you've done, no matter what trial, listen, you're okay because God does not make junk.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com. Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org. Let me tell you a little bit about it. You got to understand how things start and what God says and how God, when he begins to do something, a new thing, a new work, he will normally call a people out from what he presently or in the past established so he can begin not a new gospel, but a fresh wind, a fresh anointing for the next generation, you know. And one thing that we found out at Vine Fellowship Network is that, you know, God was preparing us for this next season of what's taking place. It really looks like possibly for the end times, you know. But either way, it's for our generation, you know. And at Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU, you can actually begin to learn and grow because God's called you into the harvest field. It's not really an option. It's not the great option. It's or the suggestion. It's the Great Commission. And in VFNU, you'll learn the history of how did the Vine Fellowship Network come to pass. I mean, how did it happen? And it came from a compelling and a word and a direction from God, and totally in alignment. Everything that we're aware of that is a related and scripturally correct. It just ties in. You can't help but look in every direction. And Vine Fellowship Network University, the pattern, the biblical pattern that he's called us to walk out, which is just the Word of God, that it reminds you of God.
Right.
You know, and a true prophet draws you closer to God, and a false prophet draws you closer to themselves. And our desire at Vine Fellowship Network University and VFN is to for you to be drawn closer to God. A byproduct of that is you're going to be closer to your brothers and sisters in the Lord. But that is you're closer to God, you're hungrier for God. So in VFNU, you learn things about, you know, how the church is to function. You know, right now, we've taken on so many mindsets of the world, especially the American board business mindset, that we're convinced that the Father's business is like the world's business, but it's not.
Right.
And we also talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. You know, what is, you can't rule out the one who's supposed to be, you know, ruling the church and under Jesus, and understanding how control is God, and understanding the importance of being rightly related. And the, you know, there's biblical, daily, weekly, there's patterns that we as believers that God tells us to go by in his word, and you'll discover what they mean biblically, how they fit, financial integrity, you know, finding out how we can best do what's right before God in our financial areas, discovering the biblical patterns of gathering as a church, the importance of maintaining your confidence, understanding the voice of the Lord, how God can speak with you, to you, you know, biblical foundations of faith, dealing with authority, zero tolerance, walk, worship, and warfare. I mean, there's so many things that you learn through VFNU that it just empowers you to do what God's called you to do. Listen, we want to see everything that God's called you to be manifest in your life, and we want to see you in the Great Commission. We want to we're in agreement with you. Find out more at vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org.
You know, John, a lot of conversations I've had with people, you know, people are expressing a lot of hardship and difficulties bringing up family, you know, bringing up fathers, you know, and families are really going through a lot of hardship right now, and it's difficult. It's hard being family. And, you know, personally, that's where I was as well. And when I got introduced to the VFN family, it totally encountered me in a new way. And Jesus Christ used the VFN family to just display his love and, you know, the power of his presence through the VFN family to just draw me to himself. And I just want to encourage you that if you've grown up and you just had a lot of hardships, a lot of difficulties, a lot of pains, and family's been difficult to you, I just want to encourage you that... you know, the VFN family, we're just centered around Jesus Christ and just trying to love other people, love God, and just lead others to do the same. I just want to encourage you, check out vfnfamily.org.
Welcome back, VFN Radio. where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And before the break, we were talking about Jefferson Bethke. Got the first name right this time, not the last name. It's Jefferson Bethke. And we're going to make this video available for you on the Torch. But he was talking about wearing a mask, and it's exactly what we've just been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. It's okay. Come out from behind the mask. Mm-hmm. It's okay to be who you are and to be liked for who you are. And if they don't like you for who you are, that's okay too. Because I know one who likes you just the way you are. He likes everything about you. In fact, he even died for you.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Jesus. Listen, pull off the pressure. Pull off the struggle. Just lay that mask to the side and say, you know what? I want everything that God has for me, God, and I know you'll take me just the way I am. And that's how you really want to be.
Mm-hmm.
In the original 10 of the nation, we like to and often share about the Constitution. We have started a series by Judge Napolitano. He does a great job in talking about the Constitution and freedom. And we have a third part in this six-part series available for you. It's so important that we understand the original intent. Because if we don't understand the original intent, we won't even honor the fact that we have a Constitution and really delve into what the Constitution does for us as a people.
Mm-hmm.
These are informative and really inspiring. We want you to listen up because we're going to talk about part three of the Constitution of Freedom, the original intent and purpose of the Constitution.
Congress of the United States of America, its job is to write the federal laws. There are two houses of Congress, the Senate and the House of Representatives. If they can agree on the wording of the laws, it goes to the president for him to sign into law or to veto. The job of the Congress is to look at the Constitution, follow the Constitution, and write the laws of the land.
After we won our independence from England, the colonies set about forming a central government. We never had a central government here. Rather, we had 13 governments, one for each of the colonies. The Continental Congress that had met at Princeton, New Jersey, and hired George Washington and gave him money to spend on an army, did not have real authority, and it was quickly disbanded when the British went back to England. The first government we had here was defined in the Articles of Confederation. This set up a small Congress and a one-year term rotating presidency. But there was no real central government. The real power still remained in the state governments. The states imposed crippling tariffs on goods from out of state, and a movement soon began for a new central government. After the states sent delegates to Philadelphia to draft a constitution, and after all 13 states adopted it in constitutional conventions held in each state, the new government began to operate, first in New York City, then in Philadelphia, then permanently in Washington, D.C. The framers took great pains to create a unique and limited federal government, unique in that its powers were precisely defined and separated among three branches, and federal in that it would not interfere with the states except to stop those tariffs. The Congress was created with two bodies of representatives. The House of Representatives was elected directly by the voters, and it was intended to be their voice in the federal government. Each state has an assigned number of representatives proportioned to the state's population. The Senate was elected by the legislatures of each of the 13 states, and it was to be the state's voices in the federal government. Each state had, and still has, two senators, though the senators today are popularly elected. Even though the Constitution begins with the words, "We the people," in reality it was "We the states" that created the federal government. Not wanting to give up too much of their power, The framers were careful to set forth the powers that the new government would have. These powers were all given to the Congress, since it is the Congress's job to write the laws. The president's job is to enforce the laws, and the courts were established to interpret them. But the real power in the federal government, the power to regulate human behavior, the power to write the laws, was given by the Constitution to the Congress. The Constitution gives Congress only 17 specific powers, areas in which it can write laws, like keep interstate commerce regular, establish post offices, raise an army and a navy, support the arts, establish a court system, mint and coin money, establish uniform standards for weights and measures, and collect excise taxes. The Congress was also told to stay out of the way of the states. Income taxes were forbidden. Congress was part-time and had no offices or staff. The Ninth and Tenth Amendments to the Constitution, which were soon added as a part of the Bill of Rights, made clear that Congress was only given the powers enumerated in the Constitution, and all remaining powers stayed with the states and the people. But it would not stay that way for long. The same folks who wrote in the First Amendment that Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech quickly made it a crime for anyone to criticize the president and members of Congress. Soon, Congress established a central bank, a precursor to the Federal Reserve System, even though there was no authority in the Constitution to do that either. Generations later, Congress would legalize slavery, tax homemade whiskey, regulate the amount of wheat a farmer could grow in his own backyard for his family's own use, regulate the ages of persons who could work in factories, the prices merchants could charge for goods, the strength of water pressure in home showers, the amount of lobsters one can fish from the sea. And Congress would even outlaw the movement of certain goods it didn't care for in interstate commerce, even though its whole purpose was to assure that interstate commerce was kept regular. The philosopher Lord Acton once wrote that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. He was right. Congress does not draw to its halls those who love liberty. It draws those who love power. We suffer from that today. After over 200 years of stretching the plain meaning of the words in the Constitution, we now have a Congress that thinks it can write any law, regulate any human activity, and tax any event, no matter what the Constitution says. But the Constitution was not written in order to enable Congress to right every wrong. It was written to define the federal government, to limit its behavior to the 17 specific delegated powers contained in the document, and to leave the remaining power in government to the states. Today, the states have lost virtually all their independence to the Congress, which has simply and regularly commanded them to do the things it wants done, or offers them money, like a bribe, to bend them to its will. Will we ever have a Congress that respects the states, protects our liberties, and stays within the confines of the Constitution?
Congress writes the laws of the land, and as long as it stays within the 17 powers given to it by the Constitution, our freedoms will be preserved. But it's the job of the President and the Supreme Court to make sure that the laws that Congress writes comply with the Constitution.
Wow. And we're learning so much here. And it's so important that we really understand the framework of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. What he was talking about in particular about the Constitution and how Congress works. And I thought it was pretty, pretty interesting in the fact that the Congress, you know, they have to maintain the law. They have to write the law as long as the law is in line with the Constitution.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if it's not enforced, then things can actually get by and get through. Mm-hmm. In the House of Representatives, they're elected basically by population.
Mm-hmm.
But the Senate represents, you have two senators for each state.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting that how when they were first putting the country together and formalizing a federal government, that the president only was served annually.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, wow, who knew?
Yeah, right.
Who knew? But and what they were doing was trying to give a little bit of the state's power over to form a federal government, but they were wanting to restrict them only to certain powers that were within the Constitution, leaving the remaining powers to the states. Mm-hmm. And when you get federal government involved in so many aspects of citizens' lives, it really begins to minimize the importance and the power of the states and what's happening at the local level. Mm-hmm. And this is so good. This is so good. The federal, the government, remember, we have a constitution by and for the people. And it looks like in today's society, what's happening is that there's career politicians and there's people that want to just stay in Congress and they want to stay there forever. But when are we going to get back to those that want to serve for a certain amount of time and come back and feel a certain responsibility to the local people? Right. We are sending elected representatives to represent us, and they need to do according to what the people, you know, as we're leading and as we're voting and what the concerns are, not to go and push their own agenda and not read bills that they're getting ready to sign into law. You got to read the bills. Mm-hmm. You got to read the bills. But it's interesting how every branch, whether it's the executive branch, which is the president, the judicial branch, and Congress, how they all take an oath. They all take an oath to protect and serve the Constitution. This is the oath. This is the oath of the office of the United States. And it says this for the president: I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So help me God. Mm-hmm. That's the president.
Yeah.
The Senate is sworn in. You're sworn in. You just don't walk up into your office. You're sworn in, and you're taking this pledge before your colleagues, mm-hmm. you're taking this pledge before your fellow citizens who voted you in. You're taking this pledge before the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. And, of course, before God, because he sees everything. Right. And this is what the Senate says: I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. That I take this obligation freely and without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will and faithfully discharge the duties of my office which I am about to enter. So help me God. This is so important. Mm-hmm. This is so important because people are being held accountable. They're being held accountable. This is the oath for the House of Representatives. I put their member's name. Do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign, those outside of this country, and domestic, those who actually live in this country who want to come against our Constitution. They're supposed to defend it.
That's right.
Even though they could be a U.S. citizen. That I will bear the true faith and allegiance to do the same. That I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will and faithfully discharge the duties of the office in which I'm about to enter. So help me who?
God.
God. This is the oath that the Supreme Court justices take, who are appointed for life. And it says, I and their name do solemnly swear to affirm that I would administer justice without respect to persons and do equal right to the poor and to the rich, and that I will faithfully and impartially discharge and perform all the duties incumbent upon me as their name, according to the best of my abilities and understanding and agreeably to the Constitution and the laws of the United States, so help me
God.
Listen, God and country, in that order, God first. We need God in America, and we need a strong country that remembers the Constitution and the reason why this country was even formed, and it protects those rights that have been given by God. It's appropriate that they ask, so help me God, since God is the one that actually gave us these natural rights. I want to encourage you, be a responsible citizen. Be a responsible Christian. Why is the Constitution so important for Christians? Because listen, it also protects us to have the freedom of speech, mm-hmm. the freedom to gather, the freedom to share the gospel. And it's so important because others will try to make it hate speech, but it's not hate speech, it's love speech. Get informed and know the truth.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to at VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. Taking VFN Radio and VFNTV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today. I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN Torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, that we try to share, the conversation we're having with our listeners, we really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN Torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN Torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app and search VFN TV and download. Free doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.